Stone habit of over-communicating clarity is, go, language matters. I can't stress enough having within your arsenal, creating, if you need to go back through your values because your value says discipleship, authority of Scripture, outreach, those are good statements, but that's... it's language that it's hard to really make mean anything, and it actually means a whole lot more things to a lot of different people than what you may even think. When you say discipleship, they think, oh yeah, mentor relationships and just, or they think Sunday school has to happen on a Sunday, or they think small groups, or they think whatever. And so having your core values be language that you can use in everyday conversations. So I'm just inviting you to consider how much language can we create that over communicates clarity, and then use those statements over and over and over again. You know, we use a lot of statements over and over again, especially when we're young prayers, you know. Dear Father God, Lord Jesus, God Father Lord. We use that language, you know. Dear Father, Lord Jesus, God, I'm so thankful, Father, Lord Jesus. I love that spiritual milk. I love that milk, but we got to grow up on that. And it basically it's saying, "Dear Father, but we use that language, right? It's like a kid that all they know how to say is "mine" and "mom." Like, so if you can expand your language on how you communicate clarity, it just makes it that much more easy, and you give that much more handlebars to people around you to hang on to the vision. So, go to that. We with me? I'm going to go to the whiteboard now, and I'm going to do this leadership. I'm going to mix leadership with language here, okay? So, a big buzz thing right now is leadership pipeline. Who do you got in the pipeline? What are your layers of leadership? And here's a couple of different ways to look at it. You have people in your pipeline that are the crowd. They haven't even joined your church, haven't even been on your campus, but they have had interaction with people in your church. And there's the crowd there. You also have the people in your church that haven't really, you've put the magnet over the beach, but they haven't really responded to the magnet of opportunity of leadership. Usually leaders that are leaders will self-identify. They have that magnetism and they say, hey, put me in, coach. Many times we spend so much energy trying to get a donkey to want to do, and I don't mean that in a negative way. You know how you get a donkey to kind of, you know, they get on their haunches and they're like, bless God, I'm not going anywhere. When you get these other people that are like, they're young and they're not broken in, they're Broncos, you know, and they got a lot of energy and you gotta yield them. But man, I would rather have Broncos that need to be busted than donkeys that won't move at all. Okay, crowd. Then when you consider the layers that Jesus had, and you consider the layers of even the church, you have the 72, you have the 12, you have the 3, and then I added the 1, and I'll talk about those. 72, or it's people in your church that are your dream team, your volunteer force. Then your 12 are those that out of your volunteer force, they are leaders of workers. Okay, so your 72, they're doing jobs. Your leaders, they have a different responsibility. And then you have the 3 that they have a even deeper responsibility in the pipeline. Ultimately, I put Jesus at the center of this thing and at the top of this thing. And I would identify these things. Christ-like, here's what we're after with God-given potential. Christ-like convictions, conduct, and character. Ultimately, I'm not in the business to build a leadership pipeline. I'm in the business of their God-given potential as my mission. So yeah, it's great that I can get people organized into coaches and coordinators and dream teamers, but really what I'm after is it. Whether you serve in the kids ministry or not, I want you to lead your family and be an employee and be a dad and be a brother and be a leader and be someone who exhibits Christ-like convictions, conduct, and character. to basically think, act, and feel like Jesus. The responsibility we have to the three is to think it through. When I talk about build a cohesive team, communicate clarity, over-communicate clarity, and then build those clarity through system, it doesn't happen without thinking it through. If you're a leader, you are paid to think more than you're paid to move stuff. I am paid to think more than I'm paid to preach, because I won't have anything to preach if I'm not sitting down and spending time thinking on the scripture, thinking on the passage, thinking on the series. I've got to think so that then I can get the 12, they can organize so that the 72 will do the ministry. And the crowd, basically their job is to experience and be your PR. No amount of Facebook advertising takes the place of people just word to mouth will always be what sells it no matter what. So that's a keystone habit. You got to get your people, make it easy for them. Give them the language, give them the handlebars on how to invite people to church. That big old outreach we're going to do is going to bring a lot of people in on Easter. Get people mobilized to invite people to church. That's, you know how much more cheaper that is than bringing in, you know, 18 tons of snow at Christmas? Would you like to go to Christmas services with me? Cost zero. Snow, stupid. Lots of money that we don't have. All right. So now what I'm going to show you is I believe that there are layers of language that the more you grow in your leadership, it requires you to know more. It requires you to exhibit more. I don't have the expectations of the crowd that I have the expectations of the three. I got high expectations of the three. I got ultimate faith in the one. I've got faith in what I can't see, what I don't even know can happen, but I'm trusting that he can. But then the three, they're not far behind. I'm expecting them to think, and I'm part of the three, right? But I have higher expectations and more responsibilities. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to show you, let me give you a sneak peek on one of them. On the three, these guys really aren't necessarily responsible for building a cohesive team, communicating clarity, over-communicating clarity, and creating systems that keep clarity, right? But I could put those four obsessions right here. If I don't know those, if my lead people that are the key leaders in the organization, Pastor Talia being the number two around here, we have to really obsess over clarity, communicating clarity, over-communicating it, and then developing systems. If we don't, 72 aren't going to do this. They're going to do systems. They're just not going to do what they need to be doing, okay? So what are the values of these 12? What are the values of the 72? And what are the values of the crowd? Now, I know this is a lot of stacking the dominoes on you, but can I just say, when we come up with church core values, to me, those are permission to play. That's for everybody here. So everybody in the crowd needs to know, here's what we're about. Jesus is the center. We won't do life alone. We take next steps. Empty seats are a big deal, blah, 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 blah. They know that. I know that. And everybody in this leadership pyramid bleeds those values. But when you get into here, you not only bleed those values, but then you have to own culture, and there are certain cultural responsibilities that your leaders have to exhibit beyond the crowd values, beyond the core values. These are culture code. So I'm gonna give you the culture code that we give our dream teams, all right? Here they are. If you're gonna be on the dream team, there's a lot of ways people act. There's a lot of churches you've been to if you grew up in church. If you didn't grow up in church, here's what we hope our dream teams exhibit, that they're close to Christ. Like, be close to Christ. It'll make you a better dream teamer. Have your God-given potential is our mission, and you're on a journey, and we're taking next steps to be closer to Christ, closer to Christ, closer to Christ. So what's a question I, as a leader, need to be asking my volunteers? How you doing with your time alone with God? Are you feeling close to Christ right now? How's Christ? Where are you with Jesus right now? Not, hey, why didn't you call me when you didn't show up to work the nursery? That's one question. But like, they don't, you got to put the value on the right pieces as well. Here's another one. Unusual servanthood. I hope that our team is exhibiting unusual servanthood. That we would serve you in a way while you're here that is beyond what you expected. The world needs people that won't just serve, but that are like it's unusual. David.
Can I brag on you guys a little bit today?
Please. So. Please. And brag on me too, please.
Yeah.
Actually, just brag on me, please. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Go.
Because of your unbelievable leadership.
Shut up.
I mean, you know, everything rises and falls with leadership, and we know this is an amazing culture established by one amazing man. And can we just all give it up right now for... I was going to say Jesus, but I mean, if you thought I was talking about you, I mean, that's fine. It's fine. Yeah, okay, sweet. No, but real quick, so I didn't even get a chance to ask permission from Pastor Jeremy because I thought it'd be better to ask forgiveness than permission. But some of us just got back from a trip. We've been gone out of town, and so... we hadn't seen some of our kids in a while. So we just, instead of like going home and then leaving them again, we just brought them with us today because we really came from the airport to here, which is your chance to say how devoted that we are to the mission of God. But anyway, whatever. If you want to applaud, that's fine. I'm just following your lead.
We don't got all day.
Okay. So we got in this morning. We had my two daughters and John's son came here, and we were just asking, is there a place that we can put them somewhere? And, you know, we're sorry we brought them, but can... And so these two ladies at the front that I asked, one of them was named KK, and I asked you, who's KK? Like, what's her role here? And he goes, well, she's just a Dream Team member. But when I was asking, where can our kids hang out today so that they don't get in the way and we're sorry we brought them and all that stuff, she says, well, you know, do you want someone to take them to the zoo? And I said, what? Is that code for something? Like, you guys have a room that's the zoo, you know? And she said, no, like the Lufkin Zoo. And I said... No, I don't think so. And she said, well, because I would be glad to. Like, if your kids just need to be out and about today, we'll just take them to the zoo. And I just thought, I told you about that, but I just thought, what a cool thing that, and then I asked, what's her role? And you're like, well, she's just a Dream Team member who just showed up today just to help. So some random lady from your church today offered to take our kids to the zoo. And so, man, that's next level leadership. And it speaks to you, really, seriously.
That's awesome. Thank you, David. Wow. You know, having gotten out of prison, she's just... It's amazing, her servant's heart. Oh. I'm just glad the restraining order has been lifted on KK. Now, see, that's awesome. I love that we're able to use that as an example. We want to surprise people with servanthood. It's its own language, and you know, Chick-fil-A's got good chicken. What they really are known for is their service. And unusual servanthood is key. Like, let's just figure out how could we serve a little bit more, do something a little bit different. How can we just take it? And so I'm saying to the Dream Teamers, yeah, we've got our core values, but I need you to be unusual servants. Unusual. Okay. Laugh out loud often. I guess who's got to lead the way on that? Like, now if you're a pastor, you're not like the laugher, you're not the jokester. Then give some space for people who are.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know? If you're the stoic renaissance, you know, leader, give some time for some people to have fun and let loose. And we're praying, we're speaking in tongues over here over that. Got to laugh out loud often. Thou shalt not make church boring. Thermostats, not thermometers. Anybody can come tell me what the temperature is. I need you to affect the temperature. As a Dream Teamer, you have the authority to help set the tone, set the temperature in that room. Someone, a mom comes in cranky, you've got the power in you to be a thermostat, not just tell me what degrees they were at.
Yeah.
Okay? Unity equals anointing. I mentioned it last night, but it's something I say, like, you really want to anoint a church, it's not about how loud we worship, it's really how unified we are. Unity brings anointing. So when we're all saying the same thing, that's part of unity. That's language. We're saying the same thing. You know, cultural, one of the biggest cultural barriers is language. And so if we can develop a language in our churches of these things at different layers that people are taking as part of responsibility over, keep going. Regular things really, really well. In other words, that would have cost, I think, $2 to go to the zoo. But that moment of just an invitation, it wasn't even really the action. It was just being proactive and inviting someone at a different level was not only unusual servanthood, but it was a regular thing. Really, so like, let's stop trying to do, you know, the flaming ring of fire with the lion on Easter. And like just do you know what KK, who's been coming to church about a year and a half now, one of our best families, stakeholders in the church, just jumped right in. Here's what she said to me. The moment I opened the door to my car, I knew this was my church home because the music was in the parking lot. And I said to myself, this is what KK's saying. I said to myself, if they'll be so intentional to set the tone here, I want to be a part of a church like this.
Right.
Okay, now what does that mean? It's just music in a parking lot.
Right.
You want to increase the heat of your worship service? Let me tell you, altar call starts in the parking lot. Altar call starts in the parking lot. So set the tone in the parking lot. Like go get a couple JBL Bluetooth speakers. Use somebody's iPhone. Don't spend a bajillion bucks putting stuff on top of light poles. Get some Bluetooth speakers, and this Sunday, you could do that. This Sunday, if you don't have music in your parking lot, you could have music in your parking lot this Sunday for $200, and you could do a regular thing really, really well. Regular things really, really well. Just the regular things. Chicken is chicken is chicken, but Chick-fil-A does regular things really, really well. And just be enjoyable to be around. Don't be a jerk. I don't want to walk around eggshells with you. Be enjoyable to be around. Give life, choose joy. Someone said, how do you add joy? That was a question. How do you add joy to your staff? Choose it. Choose it. Choose it. Somebody. Enjoyable to be around. Now, those are a lot of things to remember. So what I try to do, I know it's a little old school, but I try to acrostic stuff. So you can see, this is culture. This is culture.
Magic show. He slammed himself.
Cars got filled with the Spirit out there, slain in the parking lot, cars right there. Let me show you another piece of this teaching, though. When I do this, so leaders, here's what I said to Pastor Dan, our campus pastor from Nacogdoches. Dan and Laura, they had a crisis in their family, drove all the way to Wichita, all the way back to Wichita for a funeral, all the way back. Why? They caught the vision for this day, and they said, we couldn't imagine missing today. Dan, thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. We love you. Boy, I'm telling you, you better invest in your leaders that you're given responsibility over. You better trust them. Fill the gap with trust. because a lot's riding on their leadership, especially when you build a $2 million campus that you are going to figure out how to pay for, that you're only leasing. Anyway, I taught this to the Nacogdoches Dream Teamers, but then I said to Dan, here's how you drill this in. Dan, the next several leadership meetings, Don't teach anything new. Just go back to this and do one at a time. What does close to Christ look to you? Next week, how can we model better unusual servanthood? When you have a meeting, you're talking about, hey, let's go through the culture real quick. Here's what it is, close to Christ, unusual servanthood. We'll laugh out loud often. Like, he's drilling that down through language, and they're not just coming up with another book to read. Like we are so educated beyond our obedience, it's ridiculous. We really need to do what we already said we were going to do, you know? And so what I want to do is build enough language in people that there's plenty to talk about and those same things to talk about over and over and over again. But I also gave this part, culture toxins, and I wrote another one for culture, and it's this. Cynical people, unteachable people, lazy people, touchy, I didn't get to serve at my door. Unbridled tongue, where they're just unbridled with their mouth. I don't want that people on our team. Rude and entitled, dear God. You know what ticks me off about seat covers is the entitlement of people. And what I said to Talia the other day is the next time someone comes to me and says, I don't like that you cover up seat covers. You want to know what I'm going to say? Do you want to know or you want to? You don't want to know? You want to know? I'm going to say this. There's a woman who's 60 years old. She's been out of church her entire life. She's been addicted to every single kind of drug. Her mother molested her 3 children. She's on the 3rd row. She has gotten saved for the very first time at 60 years old. She drives from Beaumont to come to this church. She has just gone through Encounter, and she said around a group in a home over dinner the other day, I've never been invited to a place like this with these kind of friends, and I've been searching for the high all my life. I've never felt this free and this alive. And you're talking to me about seat covers? Right. Flip the table in the temple. So you got to think about, here. Let me tell you how you can define your culture real fast. Here we go. Let me tell you how you can, it's not in your notes, but let me just say this. Think about, go to a whiteboard and write down the names of people you just wish, like KK. Who are the people we could reproduce? If we could clone them, who would be the dream teamers? Don't get paid anything to be here, but they're like so faithful, so awesome. So who's got a name that they can give me? A name of a dream? Bonnie. So like Bonnie does what? What's about Bonnie?
Faithful.
I own it and I get it done. I own it and I get it done. I'm dependable. Like that's a culture value. Okay, she's enjoyable to be around, okay? So you find the people in your team that already possess those things you wish you could reproduce, and you just drill those things into everybody, and you reproduce them. Right. The other side of that is you do a list of people probably aren't with you anymore. Right. And that is a funner exercise. Our staff didn't shut up. When I took the whiteboard, I said, who are the people we never want to reproduce in this church ever again? And there were staff members' names on there that weren't with us. There were people that were still with us that won't be with us for long. There were people that long gone left, but basically all of those values that they exhibited that were toxins in the culture were basically right here. So I'm inviting you to just, don't just think about what we're going to do, but it's like the whole celebrate thing and then the what we tolerate. We're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to tolerate this. Now, when is the right time to talk about them about guiding a volunteer who's not paid, they're there. I'll just mention this very quickly. Can I say the best time to have this conversation is in an orientation? Because it's a guarantee somebody's going to be cynical at some point. It's a guarantee somebody's going to be unbridled with their mouth. It's a guarantee someone's going to feel entitled, okay? So you have the upfront conversation in your orientation. If you don't have an orientation, I'm going to say, that's one step. Like, go through a process of talking through what's important with your dream teamers, your volunteers. But saying, Heath, so glad you're going to join the media team. Listen, like iron sharpens iron. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And it doesn't mean that like friends stab us in the back. It actually means if I'm a good friend, that I'm willing to wound you to make you better. Like a surgeon that cuts you open, wounds you, but makes you better in the process. That's what iron sharpening iron is all about. And I need to ask this before we like get in the heat of it, because I'm going to let you down. And there's maybe going to be a time where we don't communicate, or maybe you let me down. Do I have permission? Will you let me talk? If there's ever a moment that's like, oh, we're not hitting the mark, will you say, Pastor Jeremy, it's okay to talk to me about that? Is that okay? Yes or no?
I don't really like you that much, Jimmy.
That's
I don't
okay.
I think this is the place for me. Not
so far, so good. That's fine. Well, let's find you a ministry that does fit you, which is way away from mine. What I'm saying is the likelihood of them saying what? Yes, okay, it's fine, because the tension isn't there, right? The best time to talk about issues is when you aren't dealing with the issue. And so to be able to set it the next time Heath comes up, it's the third week he's late. And you say, hey man, you are a dream teamer. You get paid eternal rewards. But can we talk about something? Man, like when you're late, it sets everything else kind of in a cataclysmic motion that is going to, I really need you to be on time. Well, remember, we talked about this. We talked about iron sharpening iron. Can we talk about it at least? Right. So you've given yourself the permission. In fact, they've given you the permission to have the conversation before the emotions are all wrapped up in it. Okay. So what I would say is if the crowd possesses your core values, your 72, along with everybody else, they have those culture values. The higher you get up in leadership, there are some key leader values that we've identified for our staff and our higher end dream teamers, like dream team coaches. Here they are. Be humble, stay hungry, always hustle, people always, be human. So we have a metric that has three statements on each one of these that a staff member can identify where they are from a 1 to a 3. A 3 being, I possess this and I actually can model this for other people. A 1, I really need to focus on this. So when I say be humble, what are the key characteristics of being humble? Here they are. I model unusual servanthood. I am flexible, approachable, and teachable. I'm fat. Flexible, approachable, teachable. You can get this one down. Lord have mercy. I easily acknowledge my mistakes and weaknesses. That's humility. Humility isn't not taking credit for something. Humility is being a servant and being flexible and not having to have your way every time. And then acknowledging, I didn't do very good at that. Or, hey, I made a mistake here. Okay, next one. Somebody need a picture of that? Go back. You got it? Next one. Stay hungry. I chase improvement. We have to have a culture of chasing improvement. That's the consuming the calories for me. I have a can-do attitude. I can get a can't-do attitude for free at Walmart. Right. Yeah. I pay you to have a can-do attitude. I challenge myself with uphill habits. Everything worthwhile is uphill. That's hungry. I gotta be hungry to climb the hill. I gotta be hungry to have that can-do attitude. Next one. Always hustle at a breakneck speed. We're burning people out. What does that mean? Well, I own it and get it done right. That's hustling. Hustling isn't staying busy for 72 hours a week. Hustle is I own it and get it done right. I go beyond what's required. Now, I know that can maybe be a pressure to some people, but I would just say, that's the kind of people you want to reproduce on your teams. Be the culture. Be the culture. KK went beyond what was required by even inviting to go to the zoo. I'm ridiculously responsive. We got to get better at this one. But that's hustling. So when someone emails, it ought not to stay there for 3 days. When someone says, this is why I feel like the life hack of praying with them right there, having a 10-minute conversation right there, that ridiculously responsive moment, they're going to feel so much more value in that 10 minutes than me waiting 2 weeks to meet with them. In fact, they're going to be devalued. And so what happens, because I don't want to devalue them, I move my schedule around, and all of a sudden the urgent and the non-important become, you know, what's consuming my time. People always. You can't have all this humble and hunger and hustle and not care about people. We are in the people business, so we honor up, we honor down, we honor all around. I try to honor my staff when I can in front of other staff, in front of their workers. Aren't you so thankful for Pastor Chris? Man, I love this guy. It's amazing what that does for them. It's amazing how it keeps me honoring down and honoring all around. They honor up. Sometimes that can actually be a crutch, and you have such a culture of honor that people aren't willing to tell you something that needs to be fixed because they want it honor. So you've got to offset that by you being the leader that if you have a culture of honor at your church, you have to say, I want you to know you honor me when you tell me the truth. You honor me most when you give me feedback, which is right here. I'm wise with my words. Proverbs says, your words are fruit or poison, you choose. So they have incredible power. We got to be wise with our words because, you know, you may be able to say, I want to take that back. I wish I said, I was talking about Jonathan saying, I blew it. Well, it's good that he said, I blew it. But had he been wiser with his words on the upfront, right, he wouldn't have had to say, I blew it, right? So we got to just be wise. Like you put a word out there and all of a sudden, like, it's amazing what kind of damage you can do when you're unwise with your words. And then I think this is a key one. In fact, Joshua just mentioning these exact words to me. I give and receive feedback with candor and kindness. If you have just candor with feedback, you're kind of a jerk. If you have just kindness with your feedback, you're actually not doing feedback. You're making it worse because you're not getting to the heart of the issue. So if I can mix the two together and I can give you feedback with candor and kindness, well, I don't think Jesus said, the enemy wants to sift you like wheat. But I do see him. I'm going to have to pick on some other people besides just my crew. Is that okay? But like, the enemy wants to sift you like wheat. Don't give in to that. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me. Man, let me give you some feedback. Here's what's going to happen. And then it cock-a-doodle-doos, and he looks over across the courtyard. He's like, you know, told you. Anyway, last one, be human. So it's okay on our staff. It's okay as leaders. It's okay not to be okay. Just don't stay that way. Be the kind of person that offer and accept apologies graciously. On the staff, you got to be willing to say, I'm sorry about that. That makes you a stronger leader. I'm sorry I said that. Hey, you know what? I forgive you, but I won't forget. Well, you've got to accept apologies graciously too. And then this is the whole pace, grace, faith thing. You got to know when to rest and know when to run, know how to laugh and have fun. If you don't manage your downtime well, do not ask me to give you downtime when it's runtime. Manage your downtime well. I will tell you, we don't pay as well as we wish we could. What we try to do is give as much vacation as we possibly can and still keep this engine running. If you need vacation, you go. Okay, like if you need it, now we have a set time, but we give more vacation than really you can take. And probably if you're taking all your vacation, you know, we're gonna probably have a conversation. I'm kidding, I'm not gonna do that. Reinforce clarity with systems. Mission, vision, values, strategy, tactics, goals, methods. This is who we are, so we have to have systems for who we are. Tactics, goals, and methods, that's what we do, right? So what's happening right now? What are we going to do in the next 90 days? How are we going to do? What's the vehicle to get there? So who we are and what we do. And the linchpin, like the hinge on the door that holds them together, is strategy. And these require a different strategy for who we are and what we do. So in who we are, we've adopted the four statements that came out of Church of the Highlands. Very simple statement. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. You could call them experience, connect, grow, serve. You could call it Belonging is the beginning of believing and becoming, whatever you want to say. The four things of basically lost people saved, saved people pastored, pastor people trained, trained people mobilized. That's all throughout Scripture. Lost people saved, saved people pastored, the pastor people trained, and the trained people mobilized. That's who we are, and this is the system that we have to create. How do we get people knowing God at one level to the next, taking next steps and knowing God more deeply and more deeply and more deeply? Finding freedom. The statement is, the Egyptians came out of Egypt, but they still had a lot of Egypt in them. They had a lot of culture, slave mentality. And you can be saved, but you're not acting saved. You can accept Christ. It's not about what you do, but then the freedom that comes in Christ, it was paid for, it's given to you, but now you need to start walking in that. Walk by the Spirit. Don't just get it. You walk in the Spirit. It's an activity. So how do we build systems for these at different levels that meet people where they are, discover purpose, and make a difference? Those are the four services, four key pieces that basically know God. The key entry point is services. Finding freedom, the key entry point is groups. Discovering purpose, the entry point is starting point, but then we have what we call grow track, which is different than growth track because it's a semester long. We have a grow track 1, a grow track 2, and a grow track 3. And then encounter. Encounter specifically designed. It's an 8-week experience on emptying ourselves, finding identity in Christ. It culminates with an encounter retreat that's a Thursday night, all day Friday, part of the day Saturday. And as we were mentioning last night, 75% plus of people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not like the end goal, but it's a great output goal. It's a great output that happens at the encounter retreat. And so we've provided space, systems within each one of those to get people moving in their God-given potential. Q&A on what we've talked about so far. I put Q and aha. So if there's a takeaway or a question, go quickly because I got to jump to the next thing. Talk to me. What are you hearing, Landon? What's a thought?
Lots of, obviously just a lot, the language is a lot more formulated than we currently have, and there's a lot of it, and that's good. A lot of talking points, a lot of opportunities to be repetitive.
This is the complexity I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is not the glass of the iPhone. This is the complexity, but leaders are paid. Life is hard. Life is complex. There is problems. Leaders solve problems. So you are going to be a complex problem solver. I'm not saying that on Sunday morning, KK's got a sign, oh, you look great, or whatever those things are. And your hair's so wonderful. And your hair's better than Samson. And we don't have that sign. But she's not saying, hey, by the way, I'm so glad that we're going to be human and be humble and always hustle and stay hungry. Okay, God bless you. A lot of that is, it's more the internal things that we're internalizing more and more before we can ever verbalize them. If you'll internalize them more and more and more, they begin to become part of your culture through language. Any question of clarity or a thought?
Can you talk for just a minute about the idea of giving your people language on how to invite people? So I know that there's a lot of verbiage or culture pieces, but so what's some of that stuff that you hear your people play out that are easy invite?
Before we go today, everybody, I just want to remind you, have you thought about Fran lately? Have you thought about Fran? Fran is just waiting for an invitation. Here's who Fran is. For those of you that don't know, many of you know, but who's Fran? Our friends, our relatives, our associates, our neighbors. Now that we have a prison venue, I just changed it last week, and it was a joke, actually. I said, now we're calling it France. Because we got all these prison, we have almost 300 guys attending service every week. And I said, hey, invite your friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, cellies. And E is enemies, bring the enemy, bring the guy off the court. But that's one way we say it. Friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. Another thing I've done before, Trustin, is I put a text message, I take a screenshot of a text message that I send. Hey, was thinking about you today. I don't know if you attend church somewhere, but would you like to come to church with me and the family, and we'll go get dinner afterwards? Then sit there and see. And what I do is I show them different responses. Church just ain't my thing right now. You hear what you say? See, they're texting back. They say, hey, no problem. Totally get it. When you're ready, if you're ever ready, the invitation stands. I'll probably circle back later. Cool. Done. You've done your job. We're sowing. We're sowing. We're not reaping right there. We're just sowing. I put it right up on this. I preach with a TV like this. So I put it right up there. And then I give them another example. And I give them an example that says, same question. And they say, you know, it's been a while since I've been in church. Maybe I should. Well, man, let's set a time before we get busy. Let's do it right now. What do you think about this Sunday? You can come casual. Actually, I'll meet you in the cafe. They've got great lattes, whatever, you know. KK will take your kids to the zoo. Okay, and then I also give them another one that's a negative. And I just joke around with them. And it says, you know, no thanks. You know, in fact, church hurt me. You know, people hurt people sometimes. I'm so sorry that was your experience. If you ever want to sit down and talk about it, I'd love to have coffee with you. Right. Done. Don't push it. You're done. Then I give them one that's the funny one, and it's like, new phone, who dis? And I say, if you get that response, new phone, who dis, then I show them the next, like, this is Jesus. I've been watching you. See you soon. And just leave it at that. But then Andy Stanley has a talk about this, about the three knots. When you hear someone say, I was not prepared for this. Things are not going very well. This is not what I expected. A great statement is, hey, you know, you ought to come to church with me sometime. My pastor deals with things that people didn't expect. And we say it like this, it's okay not to be okay. It's not okay to stay that way. And I think that maybe dealing with some of those things, why don't you come to church with me? We have a card that we hand them, and it says, listen for the three knots, and it has those. And so we've done that in seasons where we've handed those out. We are due another one. We also give people small little business card size invites in every seat saying, those are passports to transformation. That's not just an invite card. That's a passport for transformation. It starts with a seed. Just invite it. Lay it out. I said, if you leave this at Cafe Del Rio, you better tip 20 to 25%. So don't you leave a business card without tipping 20, 25%. And if you are part of our church and you don't tip, you need to say you go to Harmony Hill Baptist Church. Okay. Good? Yes.
Obviously, unity equals anointing. You said that last night and today. Mm. Have you ever came up with a unity code and a unity toxic, developed something like you have with your culture code and your culture code?
Like what unity looks like, or how we flesh that out.
Yeah.
I think a next step. How long is your drive home?
2.5 hours.
I think it would be awesome. Will you do that and then send it to me?
I'm driving.
Oh, you're driving?
I can't.
You can text and drive. I watch Netflix and drive. I don't. It's a great question, and I think we could drill that down a little bit deeper on what does unity sound like. That's probably it's a great sermon. It's a great, probably a two-week mini-series on a Sunday. What does unity equals anointing? How many want a church that's anointed, a pastor that's anointed? How wonderful it is that brothers dwell together in unity, and you talk about unity for 2 weeks. When you preach that message, please send it to me. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. We're going to go into now session two. Was there any other questions on this before we move? I know it's a fire hose. I'm hoping that you're able to just flesh this out, chew the meat, spit out the bones, what works for you. I don't want to put Saul's armor on you. You're responsible for your church. I'm responsible for mine. If it's too much language for you, that's okay. You do you. You attend to what he reveals for you. Okay? All right. So